They always do such a wonderful job, but hey, Holy Spirit did some work today. Amen. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to chapter 18 of 1 Kings? 1 Kings chapter 18. And we're going to begin reading at verse 21. 1 Kings chapter 18, beginning at verse 21. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? Very beautiful, beautiful example in the Word of how God will always answer His children if they keep their faith in Him. 1 Kings 18, beginning at verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only, remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them, therefore, give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. And now if you would, turn with me over to verse 36 of the same chapter. 1 Kings 18, verse 36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel and that I am thy servant and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. And the fire of the Lord fell, and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is the God. Hallelujah. And I want to preach on that subject this morning. The Lord, He is God. Could we go to Him in prayer today? Heavenly Father, I thank You for the wonderful presence of the Holy Spirit You've sent us. And Lord, I thank You that our church has its faith in You. That, Lord, we've sensed the presence of Your Spirit because our faith is united. We're in one mind and in one accord. Our faith is in what You've done for us at the cross. And now today, Lord Jesus, I asked You, as I believe You have directed me, to preach this message, Lord, in a way that it would be honoring to Your name and a blessing to Your people. That, Lord, it would provide strength for them in this last day to know that the Lord we serve, He is God. It doesn't matter how many others say that You are not. We know, the Lord, You are God. And Heavenly Father, I ask for You to build strength and give fresh faith to each and every one who would need it today. And we'll not fail to give You all the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. This famous contest that took place on Mount Carmel between the prophet Elijah and the 450 prophets of Baal is a consummate example of the difference between a move of the true Holy Spirit and what man can manufacture and try to imitate as a move of the Holy Spirit. I read this week where the new wave coming into a lot of churches is to not only have the laser lights and all that jargon going on, but now they're bringing in fog machines to, they say, try and create an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit can come and move. And I thought, how foolish that is. I don't want to settle for what man can produce, and something we need to know first of all anyway. We cannot create through human effort a place for the Holy Spirit to come and move. The Holy Spirit must create in us a place for Him to move. And think of that. Man trying to manufacture through man-made multimedia and fog machines the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I watched some videos of churches that are doing this. And they just commenced to shouting and carrying on. They're trying to liken it to the Shekinah glory of God as it used to fall, and sometimes has fallen in the New Testament, where a literal mist of God will appear. And I believe that can happen. I don't discount that, the real thing. But when you've got a fog machine in the background doing it, I'm sorry, that don't impress me a whole lot. I can go down to the Halloween store if I wanted to and get one of them and do the same thing wherever. That's not the presence of God. But the issue and problem with that is it shows you how far and how deeply into error the evangelical world has gone in modern times. And that they're craving a move of God. But because of their obstinate refusal to place their faith exclusively in Jesus Christ and what He did at the cross, which incidentally is the only thing that can allow a great move of the Holy Spirit, is our faith being in Christ and Him crucified. Due to their rejection of that, and their craving for some supernatural manifestation from God, they've begun to try to manufacture it through human means. And they will shout and carry on. If you were to look at some of the videos I saw this week, you would think, if you did not know better, you would think that, wow, these people are really praising God. To look at it just solely on the physical realm, there was no difference in what they did physically than what we did this morning. They were lifting their hands and praising God. It looked like the same thing, but it wasn't. Because what they were praising was what man could manufacture. Mankind can never manufacture the work of the cross. Mankind can never manufacture the power that flows from the cross of Jesus Christ. That is why the church's faith must evermore be, and we must evermore be reminded to put and keep our faith exclusively in the finished work of the cross, which is the only thing we can do that will allow the Holy Spirit to move in our churches and in our individual lives. Nothing else will do it. Nothing else will do it. And you can go through all the histrionics. You can go through all the spiritual calisthenics you want to go through. And it may look like the real thing, but if there's no change in the hearts of the worshipers, and if that praise is not directed exclusively to Jesus Christ, it is an abomination to a holy God. And in this last day, church, the good news for those who will yield to God and allow the Holy Spirit to work in their lives as they place their faith only in Christ and what He did at the cross, God's going to make a difference in them. God, I want to say that again. God is going to make a difference in people who will do that in this last day. Why? Because He wants to show forth Himself. God has always wanted to give a revelation of who He is and what He's all about. And He is going to do that in these last days through individuals who will put and keep their faith alone in Christ and what He did on the cross. And when that happens, just like in the beautiful story we read this morning, the fire of God is going to fall into those individuals' lives. And what do you mean by the fire of God? I'm talking about Holy Ghost power. Holy Ghost power that the world cannot manufacture in any way, that cannot be replicated by any effort of man, that transforms you and I into such Christ-likeness, into such holiness, that the world cannot deny there's something different about that person. I can't put my finger on it. There's 10,000 people maybe I work around that call themselves Christian. But that one, they got something that the other 9,999 don't have. Maybe I can't explain it. I can't put my finger on it, but there's something different. That difference is the Lord God Almighty manifesting the life of Jesus Christ through those who have their faith in Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. God is going to make a difference in those who trust Him exclusively in this last day. Hallelujah. And the good news is, it ain't going to take a lot of us. As Elijah, the great prophet, who was zealous for God to be manifested and for the true God of Israel to be shown forth. I pray that the Lord would give us a million preachers with the spirit of Elijah across this land. Because you know what it was about Elijah? He didn't care about glorifying himself in any way. The word tells us that. He wanted the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to be glorified. Now, when you get somebody, one person like that, look out. You're going to have revival. You're going to have revival. God's going to move. God's going to show forth Himself in some way. And I want to tell you something this morning, church. In this little old pitiful effort I was putting forth this morning to try to lead praise and worship, I felt the Holy Ghost. I felt the Holy Ghost. And why? Because I knew I couldn't manufacture nothing, but I know what He can do. And I knew enough to know if I can get our attention focused on Him, hallelujah, that the fire of God will fall. The Holy Ghost will work. And you might be thinking, well, I felt the presence of God, but did anything happen? Oh, yes, it did. Oh, yes, it did. You can't sit under the presence of the moving of the Holy Spirit and not be changed in some form or fashion by it. It's impossible. You sit under the movement and operation of the Holy Ghost of God. My, the changes that are going to take place that sometimes we have to look back on and realize, well, God really did something in me that day. Praise the Lord. But it don't take many. Elijah, it just takes a few with the right motivation. Elijah went to the top of Carmel that day, which incidentally is on the slopes of Golgotha, what would become to be known as Golgotha in the New Testament. On one of those slopes on Mount Carmel is where the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. And Elijah goes up to Mount Carmel that day against 450 of the prophets of Baal. Now let me tell you a little bit about these prophets of Baal. These guys knew how to put on a religious show. They did. They were experts at it. Remember in the text when we read, "You put no fire under the sacrifice of your bullock"? What Elijah was referring to there was a practice in the worship of Baal that they would cut up the pieces of the bullock and lay it on an altar over a hole with no fire there. But they had dug a tunnel. Now, doesn't this sound like the modern church trying to manufacture a move of God? They had dug a tunnel underneath that altar where about some 100 yards away there would be one of the false prophets of Baal who would kindle him a fire and then through the use of air shoot it through that tunnel to make it look like fire had ignited under that sacrifice and that God was approving of it. Now think of that. You know, that ain't much changed in over 2,000 years, has it? You know, they refused to worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and offer Him sacrifices in the way He prescribed. But in effect, what they were saying was the same mistake that Nadab and Abihu made in the book of Numbers. Lord, we don't need You. We can manufacture our own move of God. And we can make it look just like Yours. But Elijah was too smart for him. And it was one against 450. You know what God says? I like those odds. Because if God can get just a few people right that'll follow Him after their whole heart, and their interest is in giving Him praise and not in showing off what they can do, man, you're going to see a move of the Spirit. You're going to see a move of the Spirit. Dennis, you and I were talking about this early this week. There's a move of the Spirit going on right now here in this Crossway Community Church. There's a mighty move of the Holy Ghost going on. You might say, well, I don't see a lot of people. You don't need to see a lot of people. I know what the Holy Spirit is doing on the inside of all of us that regularly attend here. And it's a mighty work. The fire of God has fallen is what I'm telling you. The fire of God has fallen. Lives are being changed. Our faith is being solidified in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's raising Himself up, a last day's army that is not too much interested in seeing what man can do, but they're hungry after Jehovah God. They're hungry after Jesus Christ. They're hungry after a genuine move of God's Holy Ghost. And they're not going to settle for anything. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand of praise. And I know you all, you ain't going to settle for nothing less. You're like me. If it ain't real, if it does not emanate from Jesus Christ, I want no part of it. Because it's man-made if it's outside of Christ. And these prophets of Baal, man, did they know how to put on a religious show. And you know, that's where America is today. We're great at putting on religious shows. I heard one gentleman this week, I'll leave him nameless, because he's so terribly misdirected. He was saying, no, whatever music you have in your church, trying to sound really cool, you know. These guys are all, if it's rock or whatever your people like, you know, just create an atmosphere. It's your job to create an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit can move. And he's one of these who's advocating the smoke and all this stuff and laser lights. Now don't get me wrong. There's nothing inherently sinful with a laser light. There's nothing inherently sinful with a fog machine. But when you're using them to try to enhance the movement of the Holy Spirit, it's an abomination in the sight of God. Because a move of the Holy Spirit needs none of man's enhancement. I want to say that again. You missed a great chance to say amen there. A move of the Holy Spirit does not need any of man's enhancement. A move of the Holy Spirit is so supreme and so powerful and so incomparable to anything that man can produce, it's not even worth comparing the two. You see, these prophets of Baal, man, they were good. They'd make it look like when they cried out to their God and they praised, just like Elijah was going to praise, that God answered by fire. But Elijah knew what they were all about through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. He said, guys, we're going to do our sacrifices in this challenge that I've laid before you. We're going to do them a little bit different today, okay? You don't get to put your fire underneath anything. Let's call and let the God be God who answers from above. Whew, I like that. Let the God be God who's going to answer with fire from above. I love that. You see, God honors those who honor Him. God will send the fire, the power of the Holy Spirit, into those who are interested in serving Him and loving Him alone. And will not settle for any man-made antics. And you know what? These fools, it shows you how deceived they were. And this is just a perfect picture of the modern evangelical church. They're so deceived that they arrogantly answer this great prophet and say, it's well said. It's well said. In other words, they had become so deceived and so arrogant, they thought, no problem. Do you know the danger in following a false doctrine and following after those who worship the man-made things in the church? Do you know what it is? The great danger is that you'll start to believe that's real. They had become so deceived and so arrogant, they thought, no problem, even though we've been using our little chicanery and trickery to make the fire come up, it's God. He'll answer us. He'll answer us from above. They said, it's good, Elijah. Yeah, let's go forward with it. I'd give anything to have been there to have seen this. So, I'm paraphrasing a lot of it. You can go home and read this entire chapter later. So, they get to Mount Carmel, the top of it, where the sacrifice, where the altar is. Elijah says, boys, you all go first. 450 of them against one. 450 of them, one, Elijah. And what do? They lay it on about 9 o'clock in the morning. See, in the Hebrew worship, there were three sacrifices at 9 in the morning, at noon, and at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And incidentally, when Jesus Christ was on the cross, at those specific times, very wonderful things happened as he was purchasing our redemption on the cross. It was exactly 3 o'clock in the afternoon when he bowed his head and said, "It's finished." Hallelujah. But they laid their sacrifices on at 9 o'clock in the morning. Do you see how deceived they were? Thinking, we've created this before. We'll do it again. This time God was going to make a difference because his name was on the line. And Elijah was seeking only after the glory of Jehovah God. And they lay it on there at 9 o'clock in the morning, cut it up so pretty, filleted it. You see, because the prophets of Baal, when they did their sacrifices, they would have a great feast after they'd brought the fire up from underneath. They'd eat the parts of the sacrifice that were edible. And they believed by doing so that they had communion with Baal, spiritual communion with Baal, by eating that meat. And at 9 o'clock in the morning, it starts. And man, these guys are carrying on something awful. I mean, they're having themselves a time. The Bible says that they're crying out and just waving their hands and calling for Baal. Oh, answer us by fire. Oh, answer us by fire. They did this for about 3 hours, and nothing's happening. And I just so love what Elijah tells them. You got to love his little bit of, it's very sarcastic. He said, "Where is your God, Baal? I can't you just see him standing off the side and these 450 idiots just carrying on something awful, trying to get fire to fall from heaven? Nothing happening." And Elijah tells him, he says, "Where is your God, Baal? Is he deaf? Perhaps he can't hear you." And I love the one he says, if you studied in the Hebrew text, he said, "Perhaps he's on a journey." In other words, what that meant was he's gone to the bathroom. And then the Bible, yeah, that's what it literally meant. Then from noon till just before 3 o'clock, the Bible says the prophets of Baal cried out all the harder. And they began to slash themselves with sharp arguments to pour their own blood on the altar, crying out for Baal to answer by fire. That shows you the lengths that deceived religious man will go to try to manufacture what only God can do. I'm believing God for a mighty move of the Holy Spirit in this last day. I want it to happen all over America. But here in Springfield, I am believing God that because of our faithfulness in this church, because of our steadfastness to remove what is the revealed truth of God's Word, Christ and Him crucified, that God is going to make such a difference in those that attend this church that the world and other churches are going to have to look at them and say, "You've got something we don't have." And we're not going to be prideful and arrogant about it when they say that. We're going to say, "What you're seeing is the Lord God Jehovah answering by fire," hallelujah, "in our lives. The Holy Spirit is transforming me into Christ's likeness. It's nothing I can do. It's nothing I can manufacture. But by the grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm being transformed into holiness," hallelujah. Yes. And then finally, after 6 hours, 6 hours, think of that, of all these prophets of Baal carrying on and doing all this stuff, all this craziness, and nothing happening. Elijah finally says, "Okay, boys, you've had your shot. It's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon now. The exact time the last Hebrew sacrifice was offered. The time that Jesus Christ bowed his head on the cross and said, 'It's finished.'" Elijah lays out his sacrifice. You'll go home and read all this later. I hope you will. But he does something that the prophets of Baal didn't do. He asks for bucket. He digs a trench around the altar. And the Bible says the first thing he did after those prophets of Baal had so desecrated the altar of the Lord God Jehovah, the Bible says the first thing Elijah did was he repaired the altar. In other words, he set everything in order the way it should be, the way God had prescribed it in the Old Testament. I've got to stop and preach here for a little bit because the Lord told me to do this. And this is not to talk down to any of us. Has it been a long time since you felt the fire of God? Since the Holy Spirit has moved in a mighty way on you? He wants to. He wants to. But is, and I don't know if I'm speaking to anybody this morning. I just know this. He told me to address this. Usually it's for, well, it's for all of us really, but do you need, is there an area of the altar in your life that needs repaired? Is there something in your life, maybe through obstinance, through pride and arrogance, that you've refused to let the Lord deal with and handle? When He's asked you about it more than several times? And I'm not talking about, we need to know that there's a lot more than the big five sins, okay? Smoking, drinking, you know, adultery, fornication. There's a lot more than that. Hopefully, if you've been with us on Wednesday night, you've learned that if your faith is in the wrong place, that's a sin before God. You're in the group with the prophets of Baal. If your faith is not exclusively anchored and kept, I'm not just talking about the day you were saved. I'm talking about as you have lived your life before God. If you have refused to keep your faith in what Christ did at the cross, and you think, and God help you if you're the mindset, I'm sick of hearing about this cross. There's your problem. You need to repair the altar. You need to come back to the altar means a place of sacrifice. You need to come back to the cross and realize that were it not for what Jesus did, we would be hell-bound, we would be bound by sin, and have no hope. No wonder Dottie Rambo wrote it, I will forever lift mine eyes to Calvary to see the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous, how marvelous the grace that caught my falling soul because He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. Hallelujah. Is there an altar that needs repaired in your life? And I'm not talking about sins of commission. I feel the Holy Spirit lead me to hone in on sins of omission, where you have failed to believe God as He has demanded He be believed. Faith in Christ alone. The first thing Elijah did was he repaired that altar. And maybe you need to do some altar repairing when we go to our altar call this morning. If you do, the Holy Spirit's not here to chide you. If you got mad at me for saying that, I'm sorry. But what the Holy Spirit's trying to do is lead you to a place where He can move mightily in your life and give you what you really need. And everything we're ever going to need comes through what Christ did at the cross. You're not going to get help any other way. That's why you can go to Baal. And let me stop here and preach a minute. Baal is your psychiatrist. Baal is your doctor who's given you so many mind-numbing drugs that you can't hardly function. Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying don't go to doctors for physical problems. Thank God for them. I believe God provides them. But I'm talking about these who claim to be soul doctors. And if you read the root term for psychiatrist, that's what it literally means, soul doctor. There's only one soul doctor. His name is Jesus Christ. His name is Jesus Christ. And He has a prescription that will fix what's wrong. He repairs the altar. Then He does something that the other prophets of Baal didn't do. He digs a trench around that altar. And He begins to pour order, bucket after bucket of water to be poured on that sacrifice till it filled the trench that He'd dug around the altar after He'd repaired it. Now why, you say, what's the point in that? What's the significance of that, Pastor? It's a great act of faith on Elijah's part. He knew his God would not fail him. He knew his God was going to answer by fire. And he wanted to prove to everyone there, those 450 prophets of Baal, and no doubt tens of thousands of others were on Mount Carmel watching this contest. The Bible says that. That he wanted everybody to know that when that fire from heaven hit that sacrifice, that man had nothing to do with it. That there was no chicanery coming up from underneath that altar. It had already been drenched and drowned out. All of man's efforts had been drenched and drowned. Hallelujah. Glory to God, I love that. when man's efforts are drenched and drowned, and an individual is turning their attention wholly to Jehovah God, you can rest assured there's going to be a manifestation of the almighty power of the living God. Hallelujah. And then after Elijah does that, he steps back and he prays a simple 63-word prayer, if you count every word in it. And he just in essence says, "Oh God, Jehovah, your God, your God, answer now by fire and show these people that the Lord, He is God." Woo! Woo! God's answering you by fire this morning if your faith is in Jesus Christ. There is a continual flow of the mighty Holy Ghost into your heart and life if your faith is in Jesus. You may not feel it all the time, but He wanted me to illuminate the fact this morning that He's answering by fire every second that we are alive. Even when we're asleep, our God is answering by fire. But hallelujah! Holy Ghost power is flowing into us all the time, is what I'm saying. At the end of Elijah's prayer, the Bible says the fire fell. Whew. The fire of God fell. The fire of God fell. The fire of God fell. Not what man could produce. Not what man can manufacture. But it was a supernatural and divine distinction that was being made between what man can do and what God can do. Hallelujah. I want what God can do. I want what God can do. Because what God does is eternal. What God does brings joy. What God does brings beauty. What God does brings holiness. What God does brings righteousness. What God does brings peace. Hallelujah. Yes. You know, we could put on a real good show this morning religiously. But you know what? There's not one of us that's walking out of here the same way we came in. Why? You say, how can you so confidently say that, Pastor? And I'm not going to ask for raise the hands. I was going to do that, but no. You know in your heart, you've been in the presence of the Holy Ghost this morning. You've been in the presence of the Holy Ghost. That's how I can confidently say you're not walking out of here the same way you came in. There's burdens been lifted as you're sitting here under the power of the Holy Ghost. There's been strength given to you as you've sat here under the message of the cross of Jesus Christ. That's what the Holy Ghost is doing all the time. All the time. The fire's falling. The fire's falling. See, it doesn't always require some grandiose physical manifestation. You see, that's what the church wants. That's what the prophets of Baal want. They want the show. They want the show. But they're going to walk out the same way they came in. But the fire of God fell. And the Bible says when it did, and I need to point this out to you. You may have this image in your head when it says the fire of God fell like maybe a fire literally descended from heaven. No, that's not what happened. It was a lightning bolt. Whenever in your Bible you read where the fire of God fell, it was a literal lightning bolt. It wasn't a pillar of fire which held the Egyptians back. That was a literal pillar of fire. No, lightning from heaven, from the throne room of God, struck that sacrifice that Elijah had laid down. And the Bible says that this lightning, this fire from God, licked up all the water that was in the trench and consumed the stones where nothing was left there but barren earth. Now, if I preach this right, we ought to run these aisles. That was God saying, my judgment has not fallen on you, Elijah. It has fallen on the sacrifice. It has fallen on the sacrifice. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. His judgment fell on Jesus, not us. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Something I'm going to say, I hope you never forget it. When the sacrifice is right, the fire will fall. When the sacrifice is right, the fire will fall. And God made such a difference that day in proving who He was and what He could do over what man could work up. And look at the result of it. I'm not going to hold you much longer, but the greatest miracle we'll ever see is a transformed life. I praise God. I believe He's a healing God. I believe He's the same Jesus. He can heal cancer. He can open blinded eyes. He can raise the dead. But you know, you're going to hear of a lot of miracles in this last day as we draw closer to the coming, the rapture of the church. And demon power is unleashed in unprecedented proportions on this earth. There's going to be more prophets of Baal than you ever thought of. And they're going to be seemingly working miracles. One thing you better look for is Jesus Christ being glorified in that miracle. If they're using it as a miracle, as a method to raise money for their ministry, they're a prophet of Baal. They're a prophet of Baal if they're doing that. Get this. Lord, help us all to get it. I need to get it. I'm not talking down to you. Let us not become too enamored with every supernatural event we see, but let us test it to see who's getting the glory for this miracle. Is the Lord God Jehovah, who is God, and Jesus Christ getting the glory for this? Or is some man like Benny Hinn claiming all the glory for himself as he's some great person? And you talk about somebody, and I'm not going to get off on that. It's junk. It's chicaner he uses. He's a prophet of Baal. He uses the same techniques these guys used to trick people and make them think God's moving. But in this last day, the Lord's looking for Elijahs. People that want His glory. People that want to see the real move of God. And He's making a difference right now. Right now, you may not always see wonderful and powerful physical manifestations of God's power, but the greatest work He does, the most miraculous work He does, listen carefully to what I'm saying, is in the realm of the Spirit on the inside of mankind. That's the greatest work He does. That's the greatest miracles He works. He took somebody like all of us and transformed us into saints of God. That's nothing short of miraculous. And I'm sorry if you think you were so good before you came to know Him that you weren't that bad. Well, I hate to break news to you, you were. You were. Well, I never stole, I never drank, I never did this or that. You were just as bad as the rest of us. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You needed Him just as badly as the wino and the prostitute and the one laying face down in the gutter needed Him. Spiritually, you were no better off without Jesus. Hallelujah. He made a difference on Mount Carmel that day, proving the Lord, He is God. You need to know He's moving in your life right now if your faith's in Him. There's a continual flow of the Holy Spirit, which is the fire of God. The Holy Ghost and fire, the way the book of John states it. And you know what that fire does? Thank God it falls only on the sacrifice. But when the Holy Spirit falls on you and I and is moving on you and I, the only thing that gets burned up, thank God, is the sin and the things that displease Him. That's what gets burnt. We don't feel the burn. We feel the joy. We feel the peace. We feel the sanctity of being made right with God. That's beautiful. That's so wonderful. But at the same time, and thank God He don't let us feel it, He's burning up what the Bible calls the chaff, the junk in our lives. Hallelujah. And little by little, there's this continual flow of the Holy Spirit as you've kept your faith in Jesus Christ and keep your faith in Christ, what He did at the cross. Never doubt God's doing great things in your life. God's doing great things in your life. You just can't see it all the time. I praise God for those times healings are manifested. I praise God for those times gifts of the Spirit operate. And those are all wonderful, but the greatest work He does is on the inside of us. And that's what the consumption of the sacrifice on Mount Carmel was representing, what happens when the fire of God falls into the life of a believer. The judgment falls on the sacrifice. And if the sacrifice is right, the fire will fall. Remember that. Remember that. To put it in the vernacular, if your faith is in Christ and what He did at the cross, there's a constant flow of the Holy Spirit into your life, which is the fire of God. And He's making changes. He's burning up chaff. He's giving you joy. He's giving you peace. He's continually bearing witness to you. In other words, telling you, you're saved. God's happy with you. Man, that is the greatest joy. There's nothing in this world that can compare to it. That's why you can keep your laser light shows and your fog machines. I like it when I lay my head down on my pillow at night with the Holy Ghost telling me, you're right. God's pleased with you because of your faith in Jesus Christ. And what was the result of the fire of God falling? It affected everybody all around. You need to know that. The fire of God that's fallen in your life right now, the world sees it. Prophets of Baal who have their faith in something other than the cross of Christ see your life. Some of them are scared to death over it. Some of them are scared to death over it. You know why? You know who was... Man, I want to preach so much this morning. I got so little time. Do you know who the most fearful were on top of Mount Carmel that day? Were the prophets of Baal. Because what they had been teaching, the false doctrine they had been teaching, was clearly exposed. That's what happens when the fire of God falls. And you might be one person in a whole church that's believing in something that's not right. And when the fire is falling in your life, you're scaring them to death. I know what I'm talking about. You're scaring them to death. And they will respond to you with such wickedness and meanness that you probably won't understand. Well, why do I do? I love them. Why are they responding that way to me? I'm just trying to help them out. But they have fallen so much in love with their man-made system of worship. They don't want to forsake it. And here you are with the real thing falling in your life, which they crave and desire, but are not willing to let go of that which is false to come into that which is true. So how do they respond? They want to kill you. I'm serious. There'd be a lot of dead preachers today were it not for the protection of God. And really, God uses the self-righteousness of people who aren't believing right to keep them from killing people who are exposing their error. See, that's what Elijah did this day. He exposed in totality their man-made false system of worship. Not he, God did it. But you see, he had a zeal to want God to be praised. And those 450 prophets of Baal, ultimately, Elijah said, take them all and kill them. See, spiritual death is always the end result of not praising God properly, of not living for God properly, of not worshiping God properly. The modern church sees it as such a casual thing. Oh, we'll come in and do whatever we feel like because we're cool. You know, God's cool. That's so silly to think that way. He is a holy, thrice holy, omnipotent God. We must approach Him with fear and reverence. We can't approach Him with a casual attitude. We must be respectful of Him. And so much of the mindset is, oh, He's just like one of us. I'm going to hang with God. That's blasphemy. That's blasphemy. You see, that's the attitude of many leading worship and leading in the pastorate in the modern evangelical churches. And spiritual death. They may not get killed spiritually as Elijah ordered these 450, but that's what the word is teaching us there. They were leading people to spiritual death. But watch this. We're going to close on this. The tens of thousands, no doubt, that were on Carmel that watched this contest. The result of that real fire falling because of one person. One person. They all fell on their faces and said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. I'm believing God for that kind of move right here in Springfield, Ohio. I pray He raises up 100 other churches like ours. Not because what we do is so right. I'm talking about what we believe. I'm talking about what we believe, not what we do. I pray he raises up 100 more and converts every church in this city to preaching the cross of Christ and to forsake man-made shenanigans and find the true power of the Holy Spirit, where God will truly make a difference and perform miracles in his people's lives. I leave you with that. The Lord, he is God. Don't grow weary in well-doing in this last day. The fire has fallen in your life because of your faith in him. And thank God. Thank God. It's only the shaft that's being burned up. Everywhere else there's joy, there's peace, there's grace and mercy being put in there. Hallelujah. The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Give him a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Would you stand, please? Bow your heads. Heavenly Father, we come to you today in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for the fire of God that has been fallen in our lives. But Lord, maybe there's some here today, and we're not here to single anyone out. We're not going to do that, so don't get nervous. We're going to address this spiritually, though. To some here today, maybe it's been a while since you felt a real move of joy and peace and grace and mercy imparted by the Holy Spirit into your life. Here's what I believe the Holy Spirit's telling me to instruct. He stands ready. The God of heaven who loves you, who sent his Son to die on the cross for you, stands ready to let you send the fire of God into your life again, to send the power of the Holy Spirit into your life again. But do you need to repair an altar in your life? Have you for years maybe been placing your faith in the wrong thing, maybe even scorning the cross of Jesus Christ? I pray the Holy Spirit open your eyes this morning and you would see how wondrous, how glorious, and how necessary that every day you place and keep and think about the glorious work he did for you on that cross. If you've forsaken the cross and Christ's finished work there as your object of faith, your altar's broken. Your altar's broken. But he'll repair it for you if you'll come to him today. He'll repair it for you, and he'll send the fire again. He'll send the presence of the Holy Spirit again. If that's you, just between you and him, do that at this altar this morning if you need to do it. If the Holy Spirit is illuminating to you, my son, my daughter, I love you. But you've allowed your altar, the place of sacrifice, to become broken. He wants to repair it, and he wants to restore the joy and the peace and the feeling of grace and mercy from him into your heart today. And he'll do it if you'll just let him. Secondly, maybe the first part of this altar service that I feel the Lord has directed me on doesn't apply to you. Here's what I feel he wanted me to touch on to those of you who you know the fire of God's fallen in your life. At times you might feel like an oddball. At times you might feel like you're out of step with everyone else. You are. You are. You're a peculiar person, the Bible calls us. But don't let that peculiarity, because you feel a holy discontent with being in this world. Every true believer does. This world's not our home. Don't grow weary. Like the old song says, soon and very soon we're going to see the King. And that fire of God falling in your life continually, it's going on all the time. It's going on all the time. And maybe you just need that identified for you, fresh and new this morning. It's something you probably already knew, especially if you've attended this church for any length of time. But maybe you just needed that reminder of, yes, Lord, you are working in my life. Yes, you are doing great things. Yes, you are working miracles in my life. And I praise you for it. If you need to do that this morning around the altar, just do that then. And I'm going to ask everyone who will now, would you come and present yourselves at the altar of the Lord? And as you're coming, I want to remind everyone, there's nothing special about standing down front here, but what it's saying, it's just symbolic that we're saying, God, we're making a move towards you. We're making a move towards you, Lord God. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit that I've felt and feel right now. Now, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, the Lord wants this to be very personal this morning, just between you and Him. If that altar's been broken and in need of repair, He loves you. He's not going to push you away. He's not here to chastise you over it. He wants you to come back, though. He wants you to call on Him afresh and anew and say, Lord, fix this thing in my life. Or repent. Tell Him you're sorry of looking at things the wrong way and lapsing into a mode of thought that has you trusting more in the things of man than what He can do in your life. He'll repair that altar for you this morning. He'll send the fire fresh and anew. And if anybody needs to do that, I'm not asking for a show of hands. I'm just going to pray for you right now. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that for anyone who would need the altar repaired today, the altar of Jehovah God, the altar of the cross of Christ, that perhaps they've shifted their faith away from that onto something else, that, Lord, you'll let them know that you're not out to mistreat them. You want to restore them. But they must first, Lord, we must first know that something's wrong. And I believe we've clearly identified what's wrong. The altar needs repaired. The heart of faith needs to be placed afresh and anew and kept in Christ and what He did at the cross for everything. And Lord, you'll send the Holy Spirit again. The fire will fall. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus right now, to anyone and everyone who would need to repair the altar, let your love and grace and mercy flow over them as they repent and come to the cross of Christ. Like the old song says, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Lord, I know they're feeling now the power of the Holy Spirit as they've repented over letting the altar be broken down, of allowing their faith to be placed in something other than the glorious work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And Lord, if were our spiritual eyes to be opened right now, it would be the exact equivalent of what happened on Mount Carmel. The fire's fallen again. They're feeling grace and mercy. They're feeling peace and joy again that they haven't felt in a long time because of where they're moving their faith to. And Lord Jesus, to those of who have their faith and trust in you, I pray today that you have shown them how your Holy Spirit is moving in our lives continually. I pray, Lord Jesus, you'll open our spiritual eyes that we would see the miraculous work that's going on continually in our hearts and lives, Lord. And let us rejoice in that. Let us rejoice in the fact that the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. And you're making a difference, Lord. You're showing yourself mighty through our lives because of our faith in Jesus Christ. The fire of God is falling. Lord God, I feel it now. We thank you, dear Savior. We thank you, dear Savior. Let Him bless you. Let Him bless you. We don't want to hurry this morning. Let the fire fall. Hallelujah. Let your fire fall. Oh, I feel a wave of the Holy Ghost over this altar this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Worship Him, church. There's a mighty move of His Spirit going on now. Speak to us this morning, Holy Ghost of God, in any way you would desire. Thank you, Lord. Yes, we do, Lord. Thank you, Linda, for your sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. We praise and worship you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's it. That's it. We can't do anything without you, Lord Jesus. And I believe that's what your Holy Spirit wants us to know this morning. We acknowledge we can't do anything without you, Lord. We look to you for everything. We look to the power of your Spirit, Lord, for everything. And Lord, we thank you that we know with our faith anchored in the right sacrifice, the sacrifice of God, Jesus Christ, that the fire has fallen in our lives, the power of the Holy Spirit. Go ahead. Go ahead, Paul, if God's speaking to you. Don't be afraid. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Anybody, if you feel the Lord speaking to you right now, let him use you. Lord, we're grateful for this holy presence that's moving right now. We don't take it lightly, Lord Jesus. We honor the movement of your Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives and in our church. And Lord, we thank you for your grace and mercy because we can never, never, ever be good enough on our own to have your precious Spirit move on us the way he's moved on us throughout this service today. For the way he moves on us every day of our lives, Lord, I pray you'll make us cognizant of what we've heard today and know the fire is always falling. If the sacrifice is right. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. It's so good to just stand in your holy presence, Lord God. Thank you so much for your grace and mercy. For the joy and peace that's imparted to us via the person of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, this week, and until the rapture happens, I pray you've done a deep work in our hearts and lives today, and that every day we would take some time to praise you for the mighty fire of God that's fallen in our lives because the sacrifice is right. That we would praise you every day for the power of the Holy Spirit effectually operating because of our faith in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Let's give him a hand of praise today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Well, it's been so good to be with you in God's house today. I thank you for your attentions and I thank you for your faith. I mean that. Because it's our faith in one mind and one accord. I know everybody in this church, their faith is anchored exclusively in Christ and what he did at the cross. That's why we're feeling the Holy Spirit. And I wouldn't trade it for anything. I wouldn't trade it for anything. Hallelujah. It's so precious. Val, could I pray for you this morning? Would you mind if we prayed for you? As I look back and saw you there, it's just like the Holy Spirit shined the light around you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask some of you ladies, would you gather around her and just lay hands on her? Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, this morning we come. And Lord, that which Satan has tried to destroy, he cannot. For the Lord God, the Lord who is God, is raising up a defense on Val's behalf. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing right now. I sense the fire of God falling in Val's heart and life, Lord. It's because you love her. Lord, bless her mightily. Bless her with wisdom. Bless her with strength. Bless her with clear spiritual insight in every matter in her life, Lord. And Lord, I know you're giving her the peace of God, that her God
will not fail her. Val, I feel strongly the Lord telling me to tell you that today. I am the Lord your God, and I will not fail you. I will not fail you. I will uphold you, my daughter. I will uphold you, my daughter. Fear not. I will uphold you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're not defeated, Val. You're victorious in Jesus Christ. There is no defeat in Him. And you're in Him, Val. You're in Him. There's no defeat. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless her, Lord. Bless her mightily, Lord Jesus, and all spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Let Him bless you, Val. Let Him bless you. He loves you. He's not going to see you go down to defeat. And it's because of that precious blood for all of us that'll never lose its power. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just let Him bless you this morning, church. I know He's encouraging and strengthening many. All of us, really. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's because of the sacrifice, the precious blood, that we get strength, that we get glory, that we get peace and joy, grace and mercy. And it'll never change as long as we keep our faith in it. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. Hallelujah. And He's proven it one more time today. Amen. David, would you come dismiss us in prayer, brother? Praise the Lord. God bless you. I want to thank Emerson again for taking the service Wednesday night. I heard so many glowing and exciting reports from everyone about what a great job he did. Emerson, I can't tell you how I appreciate you, buddy. God's made you a real blessing to this church, and we thank you for it. David?